President Trump delivered his State of the Union address Tuesday night. Several House Democrats walked out. One who stayed was New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District. I spoke with him Wednesday about his reaction to the speech.
Well, I thought the tone was very divisive. I thought that we needed to hear a lot more about climate, the climate crisis that we're all facing. To talk about tree planting is fine, but it just begins to address the issue that has a need for all sectors of the economy to respond. And it's certainly veiled in urgency. You know, I would have wanted to hear how we can grow jobs as we become stronger stewards of the environment, and how technology can get us there. In fact, our guest yesterday was Kathy Hanoon, who is president and co-founder of Dandelion, which is a geothermal operation company. And they're installing in the district that I represent, and it's offering great opportunities to clean up our environment, reduce the carbon pollution, and grow jobs. So we heard none of that. And then the talk about health care seemed totally antithetical to his actions. The president has joined up in a case with Texas versus U.S. that would literally gut the Affordable Care Act. And I see efforts here being made in the House to address that cost curve, bend that cost curve for the medication needs that our constituents need to stay well or stay alive. And, you know, the response, in fact, to the president in that moment was speaking back about H.R. 3, encouraging him to take a look at that legislation. So, you know, while his efforts have been to gut pre-existing condition protection clauses, to gut affordability, accessibility, and to not address the pharmaceutical crisis, the sticker shock of our medications, and then to say that he is going to lead us in that effort seems somewhat, you know, reverse of his actions.
Congressman Tonko, it's obviously an election year. The Iowa caucus was this week. President Trump was using the address definitely to argue for a second term. And there's been a lot of coverage of the chilliness between Speaker Pelosi, who runs the House, of course, and President Trump. No handshake. And then she ripped the speech up at the end. So my question is, what can the Congress actually get done this year if that's the state of the relationship right now?
Well, I'm hoping that there can be this healing. I thought last night was a missed opportunity where the healing process could begin, but it started out literally as a convention with chanting for four more years rather than, you know, getting down to the business of how we can bring the nation together, address very solid concerns. Everyone has high on the list the healthcare issue that's important, the climate change issue that I just spoke about, and certainly infrastructure. And we could have moved with the plan there. Instead, we started with this chanting that wasn't helpful, and then moved to hear about the economy with some statistics that weren't quite accurate or didn't recognize that the president and the country is really riding an 11-year wave that began with the Obama administration response to the recession, which included stabilizing our financial sector, which included providing for a underpinning of the auto industry, making them strong again, which was so critical to our economy, and which also spoke to a stimulus package that provided for innovation in energy and the innovation economy in general to have a shot in the arm. Those things got us to the point we're at. We've been growing since March of 2009 with private sector job growth. So there could have been an acknowledgement in a bipartisan way that also acknowledged the previous administration, and that would have been a good way to kind of bring us together and have everyone share in the strengthening of the economy. But instead, it turned into somewhat of a partisan show that wasn't helpful And again, I think the frustration of many incorrect statements, I'll put them that way, didn't help to bring the forces together.
I don't think it's really your style, but many of your colleagues did walk out and then posted to Twitter explaining why they couldn't take any more. In past years, we've seen you right on the rail, especially during the Obama years, during the State of the Union. You weren't in your customary spot last night, were you?
No, I wasn't. I had different gatherings that I was hitting before the State of the Union message, and a lot of that prime activity was missing then, so that we were seated with the senators because there were a few vacant seats there. You know, being in that room and hearing the rundown of some of the information was, you know, I can understand my colleagues leaving because I thought that it was not factual, and I have to believe people knew that it wasn't, and it was still being shared. So I find that to be disconcerting, and I understand their frustration.
Do you think Speaker Pelosi made a mistake by ripping up the speech?
Well, look, maybe I wouldn't choose that style, but I can understand the frustration when we're not dealing with the facts and when the absolute opposite of what people are stating they're doing is the actual outcome. Not moving forward to protect the Affordable Care Act, not looking to guard those with pre-existing conditions and to recognize or make a statement of a total reverse outcome is I think, disingenuous. And I think that drove not only the tone last night, but the response from many of my colleagues.
Okay, last thing. President Trump said during the State of the Union over those four more years, cheers, that, you know, the economy is in great shape. Unemployment's at a 50-year low. The trade deal has been signed. China's been cowed. What's the argument against a second term for President Trump?
Well, I think that really, basically, we haven't prioritized correctly. You know, the president talks about the growth of the economy. If you look at the population of the U.S., it's grown tremendously over the last several decades. And, of course, you're going to have more people working. But when you put that in a per capita measurement, when you look at what we got in terms of growth per capita, it was around 1% to 2%, which cost $2 trillion with his tax cut bill. That didn't seem to be a good enough performance. So I think what we needed was an investment in infrastructure before we gave the wealthiest amongst us and some of the largest, most profitable international corporations a tax break before middle-income America. So I think that the priorities were poorly established. They were abandoned. Infrastructure should have still reigned high. And, you know, there's just, I think, greater outcomes that we as a nation in an innovation economy can realize.
New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat of the 20th District, talking about last night's State of the Union address. Congressman Tonko, thanks as always for taking some time for us.
Always my pleasure.